जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन बल्लभा गिरिवाधारी। गोपी जन बल्लभा गिरिवाधारी। यशोरनंदन व्रज जनरंजन। यशोरनंदन व्रज जनरंजन। जनिया तीरा वनाचारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन बल्लभा गिरिवाधारी। यशोरनंदन व्रज जनरंजन। जनन पूरा वनचारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन बल्लभा गिरिवाधारी। यशोरनंदन व्रज जनरंजन। जनन पूरा वनचारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Sham Sundara Radha Sham Sundara Hare Jaya Krishna Balaram Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai, Jaya Gaura Nithai, Jaya Gaura Nithai. Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Vila Prabhupada.
Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa, Paribhajaka Acharya Astotra Sakti Shishinath. His language is Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Kota Vaishnavinna Ki. His confounder chair is language Srila Prabhupada Ki. God permanently. Always to the assembled devotees. Always to the assembled devotees. Always to the assembled devotees. Always to Shishi Guru and Gauranga. Namo Vishnu Bharaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutavaya Shimati Bhakti Vedanta. Sarasate Etanamane. Namaste, Sarasati Devi, Gauravani Vachana, and never shesha Sunyavari Paschach Vishnami. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 6, The Liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Today's text 147. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Vedita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Vedita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda So word meanings for text number 147. Brahma Sabde, by the word come. Kahe, it is said, Purna, complete, Swayam, personally, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swayam, personally, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Lord Krishna, Shastra Pranam, the verdict of all Vedic literature. Brahma Sabde Kahe Purna Swayam Bhagavan. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna Shastra Pranam. Brahma Sabde Kahe Purna Swayam Bhagavan. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna Shastra Pranam. Brahma Sabde Kahe Purna Swayam Bhagavan. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna Shastra Pranam. Brahma Sabde Kahe Purna Swayam Bhagavan. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna Shastra Pranam. Brahma Sabde Kahe Purna Swayam Bhagavan. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna Shastra Pranam. Yes. Brahma Sabde Kahe Purna Swayam Bhagavan. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna Shastra Pranam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The word Brahman indicates the complete Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Sri Krishna. That is the verdict of all Vedic literature. Purport. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, where the Lord says, Vaidaischa Sarvara Aham Eva Vedya. The ultimate object in all Vedic literature is Krishna. Everyone is searching for Him. This is also confirmed elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita 7:19. Bahunam jananam ante jnanavan mam papadyante vasudeva sarvam iti sa mahatma sudunaba. After many births and deaths, He is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. When one has actually become wise through the study of Vedic literature, he surrenders unto Vasudeva, Bhagavan, Sri Krishna. This is also confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1:2-7-8. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Gyanat Jyasu Vayagyam Gyanacha Yad Ahaitukam Dhana Swanustita Punsam Vishvakshenakta Suya Mot Palayad Yarivatim Shrama Eva Hikevalam. Understanding Vasudeva is real knowledge. By engaging in the devotional service of Vasudeva Krishna, one acquires perfect knowledge and Vedic understanding. Thus one becomes detached from the material world. This is the perfection of human life. Although one may perfectly follow religious rituals and ceremonies, he is simply wasting his time, shrama eva hi kevalam, if he does not attain this perfection. What perfection is that? Huh? To know Krishna, become attached to Krishna. Yeah. That's the perfection. Before the creation of the cosmic manifestation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead possessed his totally transcendent mind and eyes. That Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. A person may think that there is no direct statement about Krishna in the Upanishads, but the fact is that the Vedic mantras cannot be understood by people with mundane senses. As stated in the Padma Purana, Atakshi Krishna Nanadi Nabhaved Grahan Indriyai. A person with mundane senses cannot fully understand the name, qualities, form, and pastimes of Sri Krishna. The Puranas are therefore meant to explain and supplement Vedic knowledge. The great sages present the Puranas in order to make the Vedic mantras understandable for common men. Sri Sudra Dvijabandhu Na. Considering that women Sudras and Dvijabandhu, unworthy sons of the twice-born, cannot understand the Vedic hymns directly, so the Vyasadeva compiled the Mahabharata. Actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Vedeshu Durlabham, untraceable in the Vedas. But when the Vedas are properly understood, or when Vedic knowledge is received from devotees, one can understand that all Vedic knowledge leads to Sri Krishna. The Brahma Sutra 113 confirms this fact also. Shastra Yoni Twat. Commenting on this Brahma Sutra aphorism, Sri Madhvacharya says, the Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, Atharva Veda, Mahabharata, Pantaratra, and the original Valmiki Ramayana are all Vedic literatures. Any literature following this conclusive statement of these Vedic literatures is also to be considered Vedic literature. That literature which does not conform to Vedic literature is simply misleading. Therefore, when reading Vedic literature, we must take the path traversed by great acharyas, Mahayana Yena Gata Sapanta. Unless one follows the path traversed by great acharyas, he cannot understand the real purport of the Vedas. Om Agyana Tamanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chasu Unavitamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So before beginning, I just want to offer my respects to Mother Lucia and pray for the well-being of her son. We're always anxious to see you, but not necessarily under such circumstances as this. We hope all is going well for you up in Kentucky, as my wife likes to say. It's Kentucky. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Marrakesh, Belgium. We had an education conference there. And there was an Anglican priest that was part of the conference. He came there. He works with the Krishnavanti schools, which are faith-based schools in the UK. And we had many different talks, and one of the talks that we had involved this Anglican priest's analysis of his congregation, or the congregation of the Anglican Church altogether. He said that he estimated that the average age, let's say mental age, to which a member of the Anglican Church developed in their understanding of the theology of the Anglican Church was about maybe 12 or 13 years old. In other words, young people, they born into that faith, and in their youth, they study a little bit of the theology of the Anglican Church, but usually didn't go beyond, you know, what would be associated with a 12 or 13-year-old person. Now, I don't say this to criticize the Anglican Church, because I think that practically in every religion, such things are true. Even though people may practice rituals, ceremonies throughout their lives, their real understanding of the philosophy or the theology of their faith, it often doesn't develop beyond just a very basic rudimentary understanding. God is great. We're meant to serve God. Like that. Now, I think Srila Prabhupada intended something different for us, although I don't know that we're turning out any different in our own appreciation and understanding of Vaishnava theology. Because it's something you have to apply yourself to. As described here in the verse, Krishna is not known very easily. It says right in the purport here that he's not known very easily. Vedusu Dolabam, untraceable in the Vedas. Very difficult to understand the Vedic literatures, our complete theology. So unless we apply ourselves, then we're also not going to develop beyond more than 12 or 13 year old understanding of Vaishnava theology. But that's not what Prabhupada intended. I mean, therefore, he instructed us to have classes like this every day. He established this degree system, Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Sarvabhauma, Bhakti Vedanta, that are based on studying our theology. And he wanted the devotees, all of us, to undertake such study, so that we understood very deeply the theology of Vaishnavism. And not that we were shallow people. Now, of course, you may say that, well, not everyone has the capacity to go into that deep study. And that may be true. That may be true. Some may not have the capacity, some may not have the inclination, everyone's going to claim they don't have the time. But still, we should endeavor for that. We should try to overcome this. This is what how we show our devotion to Krishna, is that we endeavor. Not that our endeavor alone is sufficient. We show our endeavor to Krishna and he reciprocates with us. And he can do that completely and give us complete knowledge of him, that knowledge which escapes very greatly intelligent brahmanas who study the Vedas constantly. That knowledge which escapes such persons can be made available to the devotee of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada tells a very beautiful story in this regard. It's a story about, I think you probably all know it because we know these stories Prabhupada gave, about the cobbler and the brahmana in Narada Muni. Once Narada Muni was passing through a village and he was seen by both a brahmana and a cobbler. And both of them asked Narada a question. I'm going to read this because Prabhupada has such a unique way of telling these stories. I don't want to introduce my way of telling stories over him. So, one very learned Brahmin, taking thrice bath and everything very nicely, he asked Narada Muni, "Oh, you are going to Lord? Will you inquire, when shall I get my salvation?" "All right, I shall ask." That was Narada's reply. And then another cobbler, he was under the tree, selling shoes, old shoes. He saw Narada Muni. He also inquired, "Will you kindly inquire from God when my salvation is?" Now, when he inquired from Krishna Narayan, Narayan goes generally to Narayan in another planet. So, yes, two, one Brahmin, one Kavalo. They inquired like this. So may I know what is their destination? This was Narada Muni's question to Narayan. So Narayan said, "Well, yes, the Kavalo, this, after giving up this body, he is coming to Vaikuntha. And what about the Brahmin? Oh, he has to remain there still so many births. I do not know when he is coming." So Narada Muni was astonished that I saw that he is a very nice Brahmin and he is a cobbler. Why is that? So he inquired, I cannot understand the mystery. Why you say the cobbler is coming after this body and why not this Brahmana? Oh, that you will understand, Narayan said. If they inquire what Krishna and Narayan was doing in his abode, so just explain he was taking an elephant from the holes of a needle. Yes, through the hole of a needle, he was pulling an elephant this side and that side. All right, so when he again approached the Brahmin said, "Oh, have you seen the Lord?" "Yes." "What was he doing?" "He was doing this. Through the point of a needle, he was pushing one elephant this way and that way." "Oh, therefore I have no faith in your... I have got respect for your God, but I don't believe all this nonsense." Then Narada could understand. "Oh, this man has no faith. He simply reads book. That's all." And when he went to the Kavala, he asked, "Oh, have you seen? What was Narayan doing?" He also said that he was doing like this. "Oh," he began to cry. "Oh, my Lord is wonderful. He can do anything." So Narada inquired, "So you believe the Lord can push an elephant through the hole of a needle?" "Why not? I must believe." "Then what is your reason?" "Oh, my reason, I am sitting under this banyan tree and so many fruits are falling daily. And in each fruit there are thousands of seeds. And each seed there is a tree. If in a small seed there can be a big tree like that, is it very impossible to accept that Krishna is putting an elephant in the hole of a needle? He has kept such a nice tree in the seed." And so Prabhupada concludes. So this is called belief. So unbelievers and believers means they are not blind believers. They have reason. If by Krishna's process, by God's process, or nature's process, such a big tree can be put within a small seed, is it very impossible for Krishna to keep all these planets floating in his energy? So we have to believe. We have no other explanation, but we have to understand in this way. Our reasoning, our argument, our logic should go in this way. Prabhupada's making some very, very important points in this little story he tells him. This is one of the geniuses of Srila Prabhupada, is that he can make a philosophical point very accessible through these types of stories. And so there are some very, very interesting things here. I think probably the most interesting thing is how he describes the cobbler, the cobbler's reaction to what Narayan was doing in Vaikuntha. He says he began to cry. "Oh, my Lord is so great," and he began to cry. Do you genuinely cry when someone tells you some awe-inspiring thing about somebody? Oh, this person is the President of the United States, the Queen of England. Do you cry? You might be reverential and offer respect, maybe keep your distance, not to offend, but do you cry? Why is this cobbler crying? Why is he crying? He's crying because he loved that Lord. Not that he was in awe of that Lord. He loved that Lord. He had love in his heart. He could understand that what the Lord was doing was pleasing his devotee. Even if he was pulling the elephant through the eye of the needle. He could understand that. And therefore he had love for the Lord. And through that love, Krishna reciprocated by giving him understanding. This is our process. Our process is not that we can conquer the Lord, we can understand him just by our intellect, or like the Brahmin here, by performance of Vedic rituals, or even study of the Shastra. These things will not reveal the Lord to us. He's revealed by the bhakti that's in our heart. And therefore, this Brahmin crying is very significant. And Krishna's reciprocation with him is significant as well. Because Krishna will not allow his devotees to be a fool. Someone will say, oh, you're sentimental people. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is accused like this by Bhaktisananda Saraswati. Why are you, you're a sannyasi, you're meant to be studying Vedanta, why are you hanging around with all these sentimentalists? Sarvam Bhattacharya, the subject matter of this verse also. He was concerned about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Oh, you're a young sannyasi, how will you maintain your sannyas if you don't become absorbed in study of the Shastra? So this is generally how people think, even those that are familiar with the Vedic paradigm, think about how one can perfect his life through study of the Vedas. But this simple story told by Srila Prabhupada gives us a different understanding. And it's not by those things. The Brahmin, he was papakka, he was doing so many things nice. Narada Muni says in the beginning. So many things he was doing nice. But he couldn't understand. He had no faith. And when he was presented with something beyond what he could conceive with his mind and senses, his faith broke, and he did not accept. Whereas something seemingly impossible was easily accepted with love by the cobbler. So bhakti is the important key. Years ago, we were in the library party, we were traveling, and we used to explain to the professors we were meeting what bhakti vedanta meant. Because they always say, bhakti vedanta, what does this mean? And we used to say that it was meant the love of learning. That's actually, we should have said it means learning to love or something like that. because love of learning, yeah, that's true, but learning to love. Loving Krishna gives us knowledge of him. And that's what's explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and all the Vedic literatures. But there is reason. There is reason as well. And Srila Prabhupada talks about this in a little essay at the beginning of Sri Upanishad. Do you know that one? About the Vedas. teachings of the Vedas. Prabhupada also very succinctly here presents why bhakti, in the process of hearing specifically, is the most potent way to gain knowledge of the Supreme Lord. I'll just review that essay for you, the different points Prabhupada makes. He starts out by saying there are four defects. If we want to understand anything, what to speak, if we want to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the highest knowledge, then we have to acknowledge certain things in the beginning. How are we going to understand? Well, it begins by acknowledging the four defects of the conditioned soul. Does anybody know what those four defects are? One of them? Huh? Imperfect senses, Mother Chin? Cheating propensity, yes. Yes, the propensity, the ability to be illusion, and one more. To make mistakes, yes. So these four propensities are there in conditioned life. Now it's interesting, Mother Uchiha said that this cheating propensity. You think about that for a minute, the cheating propensity. It's a little different, isn't it, than having imperfect senses or the tendency to commit mistakes or be illusioned. Because there's some will there, right? There's like, actually, you know, I'm going to take advantage of the situation. There's a bad will there. And when that bad will is there, then that's the opposite of bhakti. So these four defects, they really hinder us, particularly this cheating propensity, because it's based on our will to take advantage of a situation rather than to surrender to Krishna. So Prabhupada first establishes these four defects are there, and if these four defects are there, we're not going to be able to get knowledge of the Supreme Lord. So then how is knowledge of the Supreme Lord available to us? Well, then Prabhupada talks about three types of pramanas or evidence that can be used to get genuine understanding of the Vedas and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Does anybody know what those three pramanas, three methods or ways of understanding are? Mm-hmm. Yes. Prachaksha means perception, huh? Perception. Anuman is inference, and Shabda is accepting transcendental sound vibration. So prachaksha. And then Prabhupada goes through these three types of evidence to try to conclude, well, which is the best of these to get transcendental knowledge. So what's wrong with prachaksha, direct perception? Yeah, our senses are imperfect. And Prabhupada gives a famous example there about the sun, right? You look at the sun, it looks like a little disk in the sky, but actually it's a massive planet. And so prachaksha has its problems. I was looking at this book, which I've been reading a lot lately, Sahotra Swami's Little Guide to the Six Systems of Vedic Philosophy, and prachaksha has many different parts, so we don't want to be simplistic about our dismissal of prachaksha either, because it can be used, but we have to understand the limitations of it. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 divisions of perception, prachaksha, and very nicely in this little pamphlet here, Sahotra Swami explains how each of these has its faults, so that we can't rely on direct perception alone to get perfect knowledge of the Supreme Lord. And then there is anuman. Anuman means it's inference. Right? And so in inference there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 divisions of inference, anuman. Prabhupada dismisses it in his lecture by saying that, when I say dismisses it, I don't think Prabhupada's dismissing it. He's doing a lecture, which is a limited time engagement, and he's explaining the whole method of how to approach the Vedas. And so he explains there that inference has its problems in that it's like guessing. It's also a guessing role. It may be like this, it may be like that. There's a logical analysis of Anuman or inference that has three parts, and it's one of these syllogisms that are used in philosophy. You can analyze like that, inference. But it also has its problems because they're subject to logical fallacies and so many other deficiencies that prevent it from giving direct knowledge of the Supreme Lord. But then Prabhupada settles on shabda, or hearing, transcendental sound, as the best method for gaining knowledge. And he bases that on four principles of the process of hearing. Four principles of the process of hearing. One, the heart is the seat of realization. Think about that for a minute. The heart is the seat of realization, not the mind. The heart is the seat of realization. We're talking about realization. What the Brahmin had, not what the cobbler had, not the Brahmin. That's realization. The cobbler had realization, even though he was a simple person. The Brahmin may have had knowledge in his mind, but it couldn't match the heart of the cobbler. And so the heart is the seat of realization. That's the first step in the process of hearing. And then knowledge is transmitted through sound. Knowledge is transmitted through sound. And in all the Vedic history, you see this dynamic. Whether it's a music guru teaching the disciple mridanga. Do you know how to teach mridanga? They teach it by mantra. They teach it by mantra. They teach the sound. You give the sound, and then the actions follow. That's how they teach. That's how they teach everything. The final pioneers here, she probably tells us, yes, the same thing with dance. They tell you the dance. So knowledge, in the Vedic tradition, knowledge is transmitted by sound. And so, for that knowledge to be accepted, there has to be a reception through affection. Because again, we're talking about the heart here, right? And that's the seat of realization. We want realization. We want vidyan. We don't just want gyan. So vidyan means that the seat of realization is in the heart. And if there's affection in the heart for the guru, then the knowledge takes root there. Not otherwise. So many people went to Prabhupada's lectures all over the world. But how many of them became his disciples? Disciple means you got the knowledge. Because if you get the knowledge, then you'll surrender. So how many people got the knowledge? Not many, because there wasn't that affection there in the heart. So affection in the heart makes you receptive to the knowledge. And then hearing shapes the heart. It shapes the heart. Your heart is soft and it shapes it in different ways as a devotee of the Lord. Actually, sort of twist it to be with devotion. So this shabda is the best process because it depends most on bhakti. Best process, again, compared to prajaksha, direct perception, or anuman, inference. The best process is one that's based in bhakti. And therefore, the cobbler is not at any loss in terms of being able to get access to the truth of the Vedas. The truth of the Vedas is there completely to one who is a devotee of the Lord. Therefore, we stress this process, and Prabhupada mentions that here in his purport today, the last paragraph. Therefore, when reading Vedic literature, we must take the path traversed by great acharyas, Maha, Jana, Yani, Gata, Sipanta. Unless one follows the path traversed by great acharyas, he cannot understand the real purport of the Vedas. So the real purport of the Vedas is available through hearing, affectionate hearing. Affectionate hearing. Therefore, not only with the guru, but with all the devotees, we should maintain an affectionate relationship, then we can hear. If we don't have an affectionate relationship with the Vaishnavas, then we'll miss out so much. We won't be able to hear properly. We'll be like the Brahmin. Oh, I don't believe that. And believe me, there's a lot of things out there that are just waiting to bite us like that. That when we hear them, we will say, we don't believe it, even though we think we're devotees of the Lord. The Lord is inconceivable in so many ways. And we need to prepare ourselves so that we don't react like this Brahmin by having a receptive heart to the message of the Vaishnavas. So, are there any comments or questions about these subject matters? Yes, Ganagamya Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, very nice class. Enjoyed it very much. When you first started, I got a little nervous. I thought you were going to side with the Anglican preacher there. Actually, we see in Christianity, it's rampant with speculation. Mm-hmm. They have so many different ideas. They take Jesus Christ to be so many different things. Mm-hmm. You know, a man, a god, etc. Some people now in the Anglican Church, I think you don't have to believe anything. You just have to be a good person. It's come down to that. Mm-hmm. So it's very nice, actually, to think in terms of a 12-year-old mentality. You know, that's the kind of person that kneels down at night and says his prayers on the side of his bed, and he's worshiping Christ and praying to Christ and so forth. That's far superior to the scholars that, you know, sit and play with these ideas. Although you might say that they're involved in the philosophy all day long, because they don't have the heart, you know, of a devotee, they're not willing to accept God for what he is, then they're in great difficulty and great trouble, and they endlessly speculate.
Mm.
So ultimately that speculation, we see it comes to kind of a denial. You know, the more esoteric the contemporary religious philosophies become as they leave the basic, you know, basic ideas, the ideas that you can absorb almost immediately as a little child. When they leave these basic ideas, they become very disastrous for people.
I think Ganon is pointing out something very, very important here, and that is that although their knowledge of the theology may only go up to 12 or 13 years old, because they have a developed brain, they just use it to go speculate all over the world and this and that, and they really put themselves at a bigger disadvantage by misuse of their brain, you know, than true understanding. So yeah, that's a very good point. Thank you. Anything else, Mother Chair?
We just had a boy join us in Kentucky who, the brahmachari that's with us, he's a Sangirtan boy, and he met him in this little town, and he was a Shivite, sort of, he thought, right? He was a white boy, an American boy, and he'd been to India, and he'd lived there for 5 months with some Shivites, and he knew the Vedas. He knew how to speak Hindi perfectly. He could quote different mantras from the Vedas about Lord Shiva. So he was discussing this with my husband, and then my husband would say to him, so where does this come from? How can you prove this statement? Because he was saying, we're all one. He had, you know, it was just pure speculation, like Ganagamya Prabhu was saying. And then my husband said, well, when you can show me where that is in the Vedas, then I'll accept. And then he'd say, well, I don't exactly know, you know, where it's said, but I know Shankaracharya says that. And so then my husband went through all the different things, and he was saying, no, I can show you where this is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I can show you. And I was getting such a feeling of gratefulness that Prabhupada gave us so much, and he substantiated everything with Vedic literature. So it wasn't just speculation, whereas this boy, he was so determined that he's going to stay a Shiva. You know, he puts his tilak on with it. I mean, the first time I saw him come into the talk, I was going, whoa, you know, this tilak. But, and yet he knows nothing really. It's just, he know like that Brahma, he knows a few slokas, and but he doesn't have any real understanding. Anyway, I was appreciating that Prabhupada gave us real some foundation to really make our bhakti grow from a suitable foundation of knowledge.
And Prabhupada's amazing, you know, his conception, of course he made it seem so natural, but his conception of what he was doing and how he was playing everything like that, it's really, you know, completely amazing how he, you know, laid the foundation, you know, for us in such a solid way, you know, so we're not like that, you know, just like blown away by this whim or that whim, but very grounded. So, very nice. Thank you.
Just one final comment. I remember when I first became a devotee, someone was telling me about the authority of the Vedas. I said, authority? On whose authority? Who's an authority? But then when I read the Easy Journey to Other Planets, you know, I was just awestruck. I thought, this is so authoritative, because, you know, every few paragraphs there's a quote from the Shastra. And that's the basis that, you know, Christianity has left. They have left, even Islam has left this authority of the Quran. They always talk about the Holy Quran, but they're not really following the authority of the Quran. And the Christians are not really following the authority of the Bible. They're basically speculating like crazy. But we're determined, and that's the essence of no speculation in our regulative principles, is that we follow the authority that's laid down in the Vedic scriptures.
Mm. Of course, we have to do it. We have to continue to do it. As I said, Prabhupada gave us a program to continue to do it. And if we don't follow the program, then we may find ourselves also speculating. So we're in there.